Well, that was exciting. Was I the only person disconnected, or did we have more general disconnections? Fuzzy, I think it was a general failure in the Adobe Connect room. Certainly I was disconnected, and I suspect others were as well. If I can just have a few green check marks to indicate that people are hearing.
This is Greg. I was also cut off on audio only, so it's not just the Adobe room. It was even more general failure than that.
Great. So someone pulled the plug. That's a bit sad. But it looks like we do have at least a few people giving us some green check marks, those who've had to reconnect. So we will continue on. Interesting that there was both the phone and the AC. It was probably the AC audio as well that went down. Matthew, yeah, I think you're here too because I can at least see your chat. Well, okay, with that little moment, I have no idea how far through that was. I was, I believe, calling for anyone who wanted to raise any items out of last call, which was call number 7 on September 22nd. And when I said I couldn't hear anybody, I literally couldn't hear anybody. And I know Herb in the chat says the disconnection has cut him out about 6 times so far today, and the same thing happened yesterday during a meeting. Staff, can I suggest that if there isn't a note being raised about this from the other calls, that it certainly needs to be raised from this call, because we were promised greater stability and less problems, not more instability and more problems.
Cheryl, this is Brenda, and I just want to confirm, yes, we are having issues this morning, and this is the final week. We should be clean next week for sure, so there are bugs, but I will certainly report this.
Thank you. Yeah, we all understand bugs and the vagaries of all sorts of transitions, but load testing and pre-testing is part of what one does in an effective organisation to avoid the inconvenience for both the staff and the volunteers when it happens. Right, let's move on. And now let's move on unless someone wishes us to relitigate anything we've covered now. To get on to the draft questions, and I don't know whether it's going to be easier for you to look at the Google Doc yourselves or not. I would suggest that certainly staff has had this link long enough that if they have prepared a PDF to put up, that's great, but we didn't specifically ask them to, so it's not a problem if they didn't. But what I would be doing is taking you all through now the comments that we've received, and I again want to go back and thank everybody who has taken the time to make comments on our questions. I also want to note at the top of the meeting that you all should have, and if you haven't, then you need to perhaps check that you are receiving messages from the mailing list. Karen distributed earlier today the staff paper. It came out after our agenda was distributed, and so we just want to recognise it in today's agenda that we've received the staff paper, and thank you very much for that. And note that we will take time in our next call to review that document in greater detail. But let's now just go to the questions that we have been discussing over the last 10 days or so. With the types of comments we've had, we have, as is often the case, two different types of comments. Those that are of a grammatical and language base, and I would suggest that we probably don't need to discuss those in any great detail, rather that I certainly am willing to accept the fact that my command of the English language is far under par having only been able to speak Australian since I was born. I would be more than happy than if someone argues otherwise, if we just go through and accept the general grammatical changes that have been proposed. But what we do need to perhaps discuss in greater detail are the matters of substance. So for those of you who are who have the document open, we have two pages of document, and in the first page we have a number of comments which are of the language and grammatical nature, and I propose we just accept all of those. But we do have a couple of substantive ones, the first of which was raised by Rosalie. Rosalie Morales suggested, and this is one I'd like to get your feedback on, and thank you very much, staff, for putting that up as a PDF. That will help. That she proposed that as a first question, we ask the respondent, which we assume is probably going to be a chair or lead in the ACSO or component part thereof, to specify their respective designated community, to specify the designated community that the SOIC serves, to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. That's the first thing I'd like to suggest we discuss. Is there anybody who doesn't think that that's a worthy addition to our questioning? If so, let us know now. Is there anyone who would propose a different or a variation to what Rosalie is suggesting? Alan, is that your hand up? I must be seeing microphones, not hands, sorry. Okay, well, in the absence of anyone arguing any other way, it looks that we will be accepting Rosalie's suggestion, and at the post-preamble point in our document, we will be asking that question. It would be a good idea if, when we put out our next draft, if there are any other administrative and general questions that you people might want to propose. Fazi, go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. Also, Greg commented on the document, as you were talking, mentioning designated community. He questioned what we mean by designated community and whether this is the members of the SOIC's or is it like the larger, like even the non-members. So I think this is something that we have to address in our group now. The questions are framed in a way that I believe that it's addressed to the members. If we want to include questions that actually also include non-members for the accountability, then we have to, I suggest that we have to have a question on outreach and a question on entry barriers. These two questions can clarify how the SONACs facilitate and the entry of non-members, and this was just my comment. But if anyone can comment on the designated community or has any idea of like whether we should also address non-members or if we should just restrict it to members for these questions, then would be great for if you can comment. Thanks.
Okay, the floor is open on asking for responses to your question then, Fazi.
Cheryl, it's Steve. Can you hear me?
And indeed, Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. I would say the designated community is exactly what the bylaws describe as the designated community of each and every one of our ACs and SOs. There's a table in the document, our Google Doc, that it copies of verbatim what the bylaws describe as the designated community for, say, the ALAC or the GNSO. In a few instances, there are formal members like the CCNSO serves the community of country code managers, but it uses the word members as those who have joined. So I recommend if there's any confusion on what the designated target community is, we can include a reference to ICANN's bylaws. All of these 7 ACs and SOs, they only exist because the bylaws created us. And when they created us, they designated the community that we serve.
So, Steve, it's Cheryl here. To play devil's advocate here, would that then suggest that Rosalie's proposal of asking the respondents what their definition of designated community is not required?
We may wish to reiterate for them what the bylaws say their designated community is and invite them to comment upon whether they would validate or expand how they view that designation of their community.
Okay. Fazi, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I actually agree with Steve that in our bylaws we actually have it has been mentioned, and I'm just going to copy paste it here. Also, we have it in the Google Doc. So I don't necessarily see a point of going to the committee and ask them who the designated committee is for them, but I don't necessarily disagree, and if we are, if other members of the working group are supporting this, we can do that.
Okay, well, let's leave that as a slightly open question for this next iteration then. And because we have a possible reframing of some of the questions, with our next draft, we may find it is more or less easy to address this issue. Unless anyone would like to make another comment on that point, I'd like to perhaps move to what is possibly the most substantive proposal, which was from Giovanni. He proposed, and this is a quite different formulation of the questions. I know, Fazi, for example, you were quite comfortable with this reframing, and we certainly have a number of people replying to Giovanni's proposal with general agreement. Just checking that I haven't missed anyone. No, I think they all agree. Alejandra, Matthew, Rosalie, and an anonymous agrees with that reframing. So let's perhaps first now put to the community at this call the reformulating of the questions as Giovanni proposed. For those of you who may only be on audio or who do not have the Google Doc open at the moment, I'll take the time just checking to see if Giovanni's on this call. I don't believe he is. So I'll take the liberty of reading to the record his proposal for the reformulation of questions. The first one is, can we reformulate the questions as follows, is what he proposes. What are the published policies and procedures by which your AC or SO is accountable to the designated community that you serve, including procedures to encourage participation by that designated community, and transparency about your ACSO deliberations, decisions, eligibility, and elections. Please include a link where they can be consulted. Now, we can break that down further if we were to use a number of those points as subsets of a question. But let's take that one as read and then read the rest of them to the record, and then we'll go back and discuss them if you don't mind. The next reformulation was the next point from Giovanni. Were these policies and procedures updated over the last decade? If so, could you clarify if they were updated to respond to specific community requests or concerns? His next point is, do your ACSO have mechanisms by which your members can challenge or appeal decisions and elections? Please include a link where they can be consulted. His next point is, do your ACSO maintain unwritten policies that are relevant to this exercise? If so, please describe as specifically as you are able. And finally, to the extent that there are multiple stakeholder groups or constituencies in your ACSO, please forward this request, and I'm assuming to them, accordingly. So that's a proposed reformulation, one that a number of you have indicated you are quite comfortable with. If you all agree, I'd like to establish whether you are going to agree that this reformulation is a good way forward. So we would be having preamble, some general, perhaps general questions, allocating, you know, who you are and who you are speaking for, and then these reformulated questions, the first one of which I would suggest could be broken down to a couple of sub-questions as well. So the floor is open on discussion for that, and I see Alan Greenberg. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. That last point of forwarding to constituent stakeholder groups and constituencies accordingly, I would far prefer to see as appropriate. I understand okay. It's a vague term, but in the case, for instance, of at large, there are several hierarchies. The ones at the bottom, there are hundreds of them. To ask them to complete this, I think, is something which will, A, not be successful, B, be a drain on their work, and C, not being relevant, because these organizations, although they are constituent parts of at large, are in fact have other lives, and their bylaws and rules largely focus about their other parts of their lives. So I would like to have an out there to say that we should drill down as far as it is reasonable in the context of ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I certainly have no problem making that update. Greg, in the Google Doc, you raised a couple of counter questions, clarifying questions, I guess I could refer to them, regarding almost a degree of granularity. Would you like to speak to that? I know you're only on audio.
I'm sorry, Cheryl, was that a question for me? This is Steve.
No, Steve, it was Greg. In the Google Doc, Greg had raised a couple of clarifying questions, and rather than me speak on his behalf, I know he's on audio if he's able to. I wondered if he wanted to speak to them. Okay. I'm going to assume that Greg has got some audio problems in as much as he may be in a situation where he's unable to respond. So let's go over as the Google Doc shows them. The first point that Greg raised was, does this refer to the actual members of a given SOAC, stakeholder group, constituency, RALO, etc., or to the global community? Shouldn't this be differentiated? Being accountable to a membership is not the same thing as being accountable to, for example, all internet end users or all ISPs. And to some extent, of course, that goes to the point Rosalie was making earlier as well. Not sure whether we're going to resolve that one now, but we certainly need to take note of that. Specific to
Cheryl, it's Steve. On that one, I do think that we resolved it. Farzi and I were talking about repeating, making it clear as possible that it's the designated community.
The bylaws, yes.
Created to serve per the bylaws.
Yep.
And see, it's not a bad thing to just paste in to this questionnaire the phrases from the bylaws on all 7 ACs and SOs in our Google Doc, and by putting it in there, they'll all be reminded that their designated community is not necessarily just the members. Members of the designated community who decided to join and engage is a subset of their designated community.
Okay.
And that is why we encourage participation and discourage barriers to entry and eligibility, so that more members from the community will participate.
Yep. So let's move to the next point Greg raised, which I think is specific to the reframing of the questions. He says, it's not clear from this question, I'm assuming it is the last of the reframed ones, to the extent if there are multiple stakeholder groups or constituencies in your ACSO, please forward, and as Alan's modified it, where applicable. Greg's point was, it's not clear from this question whether the individual stakeholder groups and constituencies are expected to answer this question with regard to A, the SO or AC as a whole, B, the particular stakeholder group or constituency, or C, other stakeholder groups and constituencies within that SO, or more than one of the above. This needs to be clear before this goes out. I think we just need to be aware of that, and obviously we're going to have to take a sanity check again on the next draft of our document. So I think if we just leave that open and have that carefully attended to as we look at how the exact wording happens, that would probably take care of that. His next point is
Cheryl.
Yep.
Cheryl,
go ahead.
Sorry.
On that point,
I believe the answer is B. If GNSO forwards the questions to the business constituency, we expect the business constituency to answer with respect to its own accountability, elections, eligibility, outreach, et cetera. So that was, of the three choices offered, that was B, and I believe we should try to make that clearer. Thank you.
Yeah. So we need to be quite articulate on what we're asking for. I think that was Greg's point. His next point is the term stakeholder group and constituency are terms specific to the GNSO. Other SOs and ACs have subparts with different terminologies, for example, RALOs. This should be rephrased to take this into account, either by being more general or more complete. I'm certainly not going to argue against that. I think we need to be as precise and articulate as possible without questioning. Does anyone want to comment or react, or do we just do our best to make sure our next run at this is much clearer?
David, Cheryl, Steve. Yeah, and as I was drafting this original set of questions, it occurred to me that it wouldn't be that difficult for us to have seven different forms of this question, one for each ACNSO, as opposed to one general question, which attempts to normalize all the idiosyncrasies of ALAC versus GNSO versus DAC or anything else. So it's probably not essential to have one question. We probably could customize the question to resolve some of the ambiguities that people are pointing up.
Thanks, Steve. And, of course, that's in keeping with the suggestion from our last call number 7, where there was also the proposal that some specific questions for the ACs and the SOs might be integrated into our questions as well. So that's fine. His final point is one of a more fundamental nature. Here he says, more fundamentally, it's not clear to him that individual stakeholder group constituencies, RALOs, etc., accountability falls into the remit of this subgroup. That's a very good question. I guess there's no harm in asking these questions as they form part of the fabric of the accountability of the AC and SO, but if someone wants to argue strongly that we shouldn't ask for the component parts of the AC or an SO to respond, then I guess now's the time to make that argument. Is anyone going to be making that argument? Well, let's assume.
Cheryl,
that
in the case of GNSO, case of GNSO, there really isn't any GNSO superstructure accountability other than council. I mean, GNSO is all about the stakeholder groups and constituencies inside of it. So, at least for some of the ACs and SOs, it's entirely appropriate. Okay. Into that layer, because that is the layer at which the target communities come together. Thanks.
So noted. So we've given it an airing, and we'll give it another airing, obviously, before we go to final press and send it to the CCWG for consideration. So with that, it looks to me, and correct me, fellow rapporteurs, if I'm wrong, that we've dotted a few I's, crossed a few T's and added a few S's to our document, but that we seem to have general agreement that with some reframing of the questions and some clearer articulation of some of the questions, we can take another cut at these questions for community between our meeting today and our meeting next week, and that we will have an action item on us all to continue to make comments on the next draft of this documentation. Is that the will of the meeting? Not hearing anyone argue with me, which is always a good thing. I'm going to assume that that's the case. We as rapporteurs will take a next cut on these questions and update the existing Google Doc link so there's no confusion about the Google Doc links we're using, and ping a reminder to the list for those of you who are not getting updates from the Google Docs, and not everyone does, I realise, to go back into the Google Doc and have a look at the next cut so that we can perhaps be closer to finalising our questions. The other thing, of course, is we also need to look at these questions and some possible modifications thereof in the light of our recently received staff background paper. So that is a sort of a hand-in-hand piece of homework for us all, and that is, of course, to, in advance of our discussion and deliberation on our background paper next week, we also need to do our personal review of it for those of you who haven't already had the time to do so today since it's come out. So with that, I'm going to go back to the agenda now and call a close to our agenda item on the discussion of our questions, and open up for the next 10 or 15 minutes and give my voice a rest and hand over to perhaps Fawzi with Steve's assistance, although I think Steve is still mobile. Sounds like you were walking or in transit still, Steve, with a discussion on a desire to do an update of our progress reporting for Hyderabad. The 5th of October, which of course was yesterday for some of you, 2 days ago for me, was the time where we needed to have formal reporting done by our original timeline. That's something that I don't believe virtually any of the, perhaps one of the tracks have been able to do. But we did undertake that whilst we would be doing more complete reporting with in a post-Hyderabad world, that we would like to do a reasonable progress report at Hyderabad. And so we do need to now spend a few minutes of today's call discussing what it is we would like to share at our Hyderabad meeting. Now, in the agenda, you have the earlier, I think it was mid-August, this document was put together, which is a relatively lengthy and detailed progressing document. It's a document that would need, this particular Google Doc, it would need significant modification because it is not only a tracking doc, it is it's general archive of who said what and where we are in discussion, rather than any form of consensus outcome in those cases. It's a lot of he said, she said material in there. But that's a ready reference for where we were in our deliberations outside of this seeking of questions to the AC and the SO, at least back in August. Standard form, however, of reporting, and I don't know whether staff has that slide, the slide that Karen sent out to all the rapporteurs, if that can come up. It would be ideal, and I did include it as a PowerPoint slide with your agenda, if we can at least report to the degree along the standard form of reporting that should be adhered to for all of the topics, I think that would be a good way forward for our Hyderabad exercise. I'm not seeing that come up yet, but I can talk most of you through it. The work stream to subgroup deliverables, the common framework, and this is, of course, for the full report, and what we'd be doing is a progress report, so a lighter version of this. It should include an executive summary. Well, I'm sure we can do that to some extent of where we're up to. A reiteration or a description of our issue with the current state of play and any supplemental reports and any recommendations and a rationale for any recommendations. I don't believe that we'd be in a position to be making any recommendations, but we certainly should, within the general constraints of this common framework, try to give... thank you for that, start for putting that up in the room. Try to give a current state of play and where we are in terms of deliberation and discussion on our topics. It's probably because whilst we are firmly ensconced in understanding of our mandate and what it is we're supposed to be looking at, well worthwhile briefly covering in our report for Hyderabad what in fact our mandate is, and it's to that end that we'll probably find a number of the points that are already in that Google Doc attached to your agenda will be useful. I'm going to hand over to Fawzi now and to Steve to assist her with taking us through what your beliefs should be, we should be saying in terms of reporting as an update report in Hyderabad. Over to you, Fawzi.
thank you, Cheryl. So, 2 points I want to make. One is that perhaps we should, also said in chat that we should start working on another track while we are waiting the questions to be answered by SONAC. And that could be IRP track. We could discuss that. But I am not sure how advanced we are going to get to report on that in Hyderabad. So for Hyderabad, what we could do, we could look at the reports that we initially have that we drafted together with the members about what we are charged with and what are the and what we have discussed so far. I don't ever know whether we should have deadlines on agreeing on certain matters before Hyderabad and then reporting, or shall we just continue just doing our work and discussing and not agreeing. So I personally think it would be good to agree on certain things and get like consensus so that we can report on some matters that we have actually reached consensus in Hyderabad. Thanks.
Okay, Fazi, Cheryl here. Can you help me understand what matters you think we might even be close to consensus on? Because I must have missed them.
No, we are not close to consensus. I'm just saying, like, for example, a lot of questions that we'll raise, they are clarified on the way, and they have to be finalized so that every time it's raised again, we said this, the answer to this question has been finalized. And if we can do that, I'm not saying that a consensus based on like all the tasks that you are charged with. I'm talking about like the questions that we have provided answer for and we discussed with the group, and perhaps we finalize those answers. For example, who SONACs are accountable to. And that has an answer, I think, or if it doesn't, if we have not reached an answer, then we might want to discuss it on the mailing list and just have an answer for that. That's one of the that's one thing, and there are a couple of other things. For example, the matter of scope of accountability of SONAC that Athena brought up. That's I think we need to answer as well, which we have discussed a lot. So these are not, I'm not talking about like overarching tasks that we have. I'm just talking about like these specific questions that keep being raised, and yeah.
Okay, is there anyone else who wants to speak on this topic? Cheryl, for the record again, what I'm going to suggest then is that we start a fresh document. Now, that document can be in the form of a PowerPoint slide or two, or it can be text. My tendency is probably to go for the PowerPoint and have the notes associated with the PowerPoint. So that we end up with something that is pretty much ready to deliver in Hyderabad, despite perhaps having a little bit more work to do between now and Hyderabad on some of the details. But I would like us to make sure that in putting our update together, we also don't lose sight of the August and September work that was done on the the more fulsome report version one. There's some very important discussions that are captured in that document. I'm just looking through it now. We've got a number of issues that I think we could well and truly recognise in our report as having been raised and discussed, if not fully debated and finalised. Avery has made a number of points on that. Farsi obviously has, Giovanni, Matthew, and others. So probably behooves us to obviously not try and do the larger report, but to look at the larger report and take aspects of that and as the comments and discussions from it, and make sure that we do capture that, because it is work that that is important to report upon. It's likely if we get that started, it's not going to perhaps be as fully completed as we'd like it for discussion at next week. So it may end up being on our discussion for the week after next meeting, and that is getting rather close to Hyderabad, obviously. So if we, again, we can encourage people to use online collaboration and make their comments and adjustments, suggestions as we go, that would be greatly appreciated. I think it's important that that we also recognise that we will have a relatively free flow opportunity, the way that the Hyderabad meeting is scheduled, to take you back to our last CCWG meeting when the outline for our Hyderabad meeting was discussed. We will have opportunity in the morning to raise issues, to discuss issues, and then in the afternoon to go into particular depth. But one of the things that the co-chairs have asked us to do is also come up with any particular or specific questions that we are aware of that we would like to be discussing in the afternoon as a plenary. So that's another action item. Obviously, that would be part of our reporting, our update and progress report, but that's almost a separate action item on us all to identify one, if not more than one, particular question. If we don't identify the question, that, of course, doesn't mean that we can't and won't discuss it in Hyderabad. But the proposal was, if we had a few questions at least identified, that it would give people an idea and a plan as to what will be going on in the afternoon. So they're questions that would be not what we would be limited to, but that would be able to be at least a sampler for the topics in the afternoon session. So we also need to look at that. And so in the last few minutes of the call, if anyone has any ideas on that and they'd like to put it into the chat, you're more than welcome to do so now. In the absence of that, please put it to the list and indeed make a comment on the update and report space that we'll be creating shortly. I just wanted to note in the chat what Matthew was saying. If we make a start on one of our other tracks, it would at least give additional reporting elements for Hyderabad. That's very true, and I think that was the point that Farsi was making. So that would be nice to happen. Greg, it's fine. I'm delighted that with the difficulties of participation, you feel that we've done a reasonable job of bringing your concerns to the fore, despite you walking through the streets of New York whilst on a meeting. I guess it's safe to walk and do remote participation, maybe not drive and do remote participation. the proposal FASI is making too is that track four, assess whether the IRP would be applicable to SO1AC activities, is her suggestion, supported by Matthew as the, one of the, at least one of the additional topics we might be able to, get a little of our work done on and to report in to the Hyderabad meeting for. With that, and with just a few minutes towards the top of the hour, if we can take a quick look at anything outstanding that anyone wants to raise, any other business or any issues that you feel haven't been appropriately covered for today's short call. Not seeing anyone's hand or hearing anyone. I want to thank you all again for all of the input that those of you who have worked on the online collaborative documents have made over the last 7 to 10 days. And thank you in advance for the work that you will be doing on the next lot of documentation that is coming out. And I'd like to remind you all that our next meeting is scheduled for the 13th of October, 1900 UTC, and that amongst a next cut of our questions for community on that agenda will also be a discussion of the staff background paper. And just on the staff background paper, I think there are a few paragraphs, certainly in the introductory part of that, that would be quite easy for us to shamelessly plagiarise in our update to, for the Hyderabad meeting. So with that, we will perhaps give you back 2 or 3 minutes of your lives and thank our staff and thank all of you for joining us in today's call. Is there anything, Steve, you would like to say in closing? And then I'll ask Farzi the same.
Thank you, Cheryl, Farzi, and everyone. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. And hopefully we won't have you walking through an airport next week, Steve. Farzi, anything from you?
No, thank you, Cheryl.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you one and all. At 1 a.m. here in Australia, I'm ready to go and put my feet up, and I suspect the rest of you are ready to get on with your days or evenings or mornings. Thank you one and all, and this meeting is now at a close. Bye for now.